We're excited to begin our missions convention with Rod and Sherry Boyd. The Boyds are missionaries in Panama. They have been for the last 25 years. And actually, back in 2000, Bethany sent a missions team to help them add on to a school there in Panama. And so Bethany has a long-standing history with the Boyds and working with them to bring the good news of Jesus to the people of Panama. And so I would ask you, if you would, just give a great big Bethany welcome to Rod and Sherry Boyd as they come.
Good morning, everyone. It is wonderful to be in Agawam, Massachusetts this morning on a beautiful fall day. We enjoyed the drive from near Ellington, Connecticut, up north. Our daughter and her family live in Ellington, so we've been there at the last few days, and are so grateful for the opportunity to be able to share with you today. We are the Boyds, and we were appointed as missionaries back in the year 1993. My notes up here. We serve in two primary ministry areas. And we connect with Bethany in one of those areas in particular, where we work with a network of Christian schools in Panama called the Good Shepherd Schools, under the banner of what was Latin America Child Care and is now called Child Hope. You've heard of that, right? This is a really strong supporting church of the school ministries throughout Latin America, and very grateful for your help down through the years, helping literally nearly 10,000 children and youth in Panama now through that particular ministry, and thank you for that. In addition, we've been involved for several years now in ministerial training, not only in Panama, but throughout Spanish-speaking Latin America. And as we go forward, we want to be able to share with you a little bit more about that ministry as well. But you, Bethany, have partnered with us now for more than 20 years. It's hard to believe that back in around March of the year 2000, a team from Bethany came down and joined us to add on to the Santa Librada, the Canaan School, and you've faithfully sent building teams, not just that one. You've supported our ministry down through the years, and in fact, you have helped to build five different schools in Panama, in the Panama City area, the Santa Librada School in Canaan, the Las Mañanitas School, which is actually now our largest school of over 1,000 children, the Chapo School in 2011, and then in recent years, working with the missionary associate of ours in the Gethsemane School and the Agua Dulce School. So we're incredibly grateful for your support, and your support has never been more important than it has been in the last few months. Not only your giving to sustain us, but your prayers for us and for so many missionaries that are working around the world. You know, we were just like you here in the United States, but we were in Panama in March when the pandemic hit. Can you remember back those days? Boy, it happened so fast. Panama declared a national state of emergency, and in just a few days, the country was shut down completely. All the schools were closed, businesses were closed, the international airport, all the airports in the country were closed. And the closure itself created such a humanitarian crisis beyond what the disease had caused. And we were impacted so much by it because Panama does not have the same infrastructure like the United States. We don't have the safety nets of welfare or food stamps or pervasive government help programs throughout the country. But I'm here to tell you that the church in general in Panama, the Assemblies of God churches, and our network of Good Shepherd schools were there, even in the most remote places. And the images that you're seeing on the screen right now is from our Good Shepherd School in Saloy, in one of the indigenous Indian areas in northwest Panama. And throughout the crises, we've been able to provide some very basic needs, necessities, food and clothing in the most remote places. And we're just so thankful for your help and your participation in that as well. The COVID-19 pandemic has really turned our world upside down. It's wreaked havoc everywhere. Death, discouragement, prolonged illness, economic loss, a complete disruption of life as we know it. It's really shaken us to the core. Evaluating what our priorities are in life. Are you identifying with any of this? Because that's what it's done to us. And it kind of casts its shadow over what really is the most important thing. And we hope that the Lord uses that for introspection in our own lives to bring us back to what is the most important thing and what are the most important things. But I'm here to remind you that we are not the only generation that has experienced a crisis like that. That's happened down through the years. And we won't be the last one. If the Lord doesn't come back, there'll be other world crises that take place and will affect us, or local crises for that matter. But we're here to remind you that the Lord's marching orders are still in effect. And that's what really these next several days are all about here at Bethany, as we focus upon what we call missions. It's connecting with God's heart for our world. And we want to do that, each one of us, on a personal basis as well. I'd like for you to take your Bibles with me as we use some verses from the book of Joshua, and some stories in general from the book of Joshua, to understand some basic principles about missions and about how our lives intersect with missions as well. The book of Joshua chronicles God's divine intervention on behalf of his people. We've sung about that today, that God has been faithful to us. He intervenes. He loves us, is deeply committed to us as individuals, but also as his people. And this book in particular has had such a profound impact upon our lives, especially as missionaries since 1993. And in many ways, it transitioned us into missions. The Lord used this book and some verses from it as part of that transition. Following 16 years of pastoral ministry, shifting into now 27, going on 28 years of missionary service as well, we can say that God has been faithful, and he continues to be faithful, and that's the message for today. And the Lord used the words of a song to speak to me near the beginning of the pandemic. We were under stay-home orders in Panama. Everything was shut down, as I mentioned. New health protocols were implemented throughout the nation. Adults were assigned a two-hour window to be able to go to essential shopping for groceries or the pharmacy. And not just 3 days a week. For men, it was Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. And women, it was Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And so that meant that Sherry and I could not go out of the home together. And it was just 2 hours, you know, each of those, one of those 3 days. Much different maybe than here in the United States. So when we talk about a quarantine and a stay-home order, it was definitely that. Sunday was a full quarantine day. Nobody was supposed to leave their home at all. And actually about 2 months into the pandemic, they took Saturday away from us as well. So all weekend, you're home from Friday night until Sunday morning. You can't leave your home. And it lasted like that until we returned back to Panama on July 31st on a humanitarian flight. And we're happy to report that tomorrow, the international airport in Panama opens back up. Isn't that great? And we're praying that the Lord will help to bring some normalcy back to life in Panama. As I mentioned to you, the Lord used a song in the beginning of that pandemic to really minister to me. And it's from the Elevation Worship song, Do It Again. Do you know that song? And can you hear it in your mind? Those are the first words of the song on the screen. Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you've never failed me yet. You know, that first stanza there is right out of a story in the book of Joshua, in chapter 6, of the march around the city of Jericho. Can you picture that with me? That's where we're at in this song. The Lord had given to Joshua a plan to take the city. He had passed that on to the leaders of the army. And the foot soldiers never had the same type of information. They were only expected to obey. And so I imagine myself as one of those Israelite soldiers, you know, lacing up my boots like that and marching every day around the city again, couldn't speak a word, mumbling to myself, why so much walking? Another day, another march, walking around these walls. Oh, I thought by now they'd fall. But you've never failed me yet. Another day in quarantine. Another day under the effect of this virus. I don't understand. But Lord, I know you've never failed me yet. Do you feel that? Do you believe that? The early chapters in the book of Joshua, chapters 1 up until 6, lay out how God would deal with his people going forward. And I'd like to use some of these events, as I mentioned, to share four principles that apply and have applied, and we have examples of how they apply to us as missionaries. But they also apply to each one of us as individuals and to us as a church related to God's plan for our world. The first principle is practicing God's presence. You see, the beginning, the very beginning of the book of Joshua, Joshua 1, it marks a new beginning for this nation. After wandering around in the desert for 40 years, all of those that had crossed the Red Sea with Moses were all dead, with a very few exceptions. And what remained were their children. It was a new generation. A new generation that would cross the border of the land of promise, the land of Canaan. Moses, the only leader that they had known, was dead. And God had chosen a new leader in Joshua. And the Lord spoke to him in the first several verses of chapter 1. My servant is dead. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. A few verses later, this is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua had been with Moses for a long time. He was there at the edge of the Red Sea when God intervened and Moses raised his staff, and miraculously the waters part and Israel crossed over, it says, on dry land. And after the whole nation had crossed, and as the Pharaoh's army was crossing, the seas returned, and the armies of Pharaoh were swallowed up and perished. Joshua was there at Rephidim in the valley. He was there leading the army of Israel. But he saw Moses up on the hillside with Aaron and Hur. And he realized, as we read that verse there, in verse Exodus 17, 11, as long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. And I wonder, how long did it take Joshua to figure out where the real battle was taking place? Joshua was there at the tent of meeting in Exodus 33, where Moses would go in and renew in the presence of God the glory of God, that countenance that was over him. And we're told that Joshua would want to stay behind, to not leave the tent, because he wanted the presence of God in his life. Joshua would learn the importance of being in the presence of God, of practicing the presence of God, how it would bring him to this moment in Joshua chapter 1, to be very conscious of God speaking to him and to hear his voice, because he valued and practiced the presence of God. There is no replacement for the presence of God in our lives. And it doesn't matter if you're a missionary or a machinist. We need God's presence in our lives. It's in his presence when we hear him speak to us, when we hear his heart. I was cleaning out files during the quarantine. We did some interesting things during the quarantine, didn't we? So we're getting ready to move out of our apartment, returning back to the States, and going through files, cleaning them out. And I ran across a May 30, 1993 issue of the Pentecostal Evangel that announced our missionary candidate group. There it is, right there. And once again, this is all part of a process, the Lord brought back Joshua to me, because those words became so important to us. I will be with you. I'll never leave you. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua likely heard the words that are recorded in Deuteronomy 4:29. But if you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. We can find him, friends. We can experience his presence. The promise still stands. During this mission's emphasis, Sherry and I come to remind you, representing God's heart for a world. He loves our world. And a missionary represents God's desire to touch someone that we may never know. And that's the call that you have on your life, that through this wonderful missionary endeavor that we have around the world, you're going to touch the life of a person that you'll only meet when you get to heaven. The second principle is pursuing God's plan. It was in God's presence, in this same passage from Joshua 1, that the Lord told Joshua, "Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors. I swore to their ancestors to give them. God had a big plan for Joshua. We're told in these same verses that the territory would extend from the southern desert to the north part called Lebanon, in the east, the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. A vast amount of territory was promised to them. Back in July of 1992, those words, we heard them one night: be strong and courageous, because you will. And we didn't know what we were going to do. We just knew that we were supposed to go. And we stepped out in faith, believing that he would lead us and guide us. And he has done that. And over the years, he clarified for us what that plan was for our lives as missionaries. Under the theme, the slogan, to raise up Christian leaders, the importance of discipleship and teaching and training so that we would be able to multiply our own ministry in the lives of other people as well. The story of Johnny Jr. really illustrates how this works for us. We met him at the beginning of our ministry in Panama. He's Johnny and Lucy Saucedo's son. The Saucedos were pastors at the Jehovah Jireh Church. And Johnny Jr. was an elementary student at the new Jehovah Jireh Good Shepherd School, which coincidentally started the same year as the Santa Librada School that you had sent a team down to help us with. It started in 97 in a house next door to the church. The small church and school are located on a very busy road between the center of Panama City and the international airport. We used to call this church, you can see it up there, the church with no walls, because it was just a roof with poles. Of course, it made, you know, church growth real easy, because there's no walls. The school had just 35 children the first year, and I remember with much fear and trepidation when Pastor Johnny invited me, that young guy in the middle looking down at his notes in his Bible, I had to preach to those kindergarten graduates. It was such an honor to be able to bring MAPS construction teams to help the school build classrooms. And as the church and the school continued to grow, we'd had about 10 classrooms at this time, but they were still growing, and it was time to tear the house down and to replace it with a multi-story school building. And with the help of several construction teams, a new building was erected from 2007 to 2009, and we added 18 classrooms. And that little school that started with 35 in 97 now has more than 600 children and youth today in the school. Isn't that wonderful? Well, Johnny Jr., he graduated from the Good Shepherd School, and he went on to attend Bible school. And just last year, he finished his schooling with a Bachelor's of Arts in Pastoral Ministry. And the teacher in this photo right here is his mother, Lucy. Isn't that cool? So this is his last class to finish up his program, and he would be graduating in about a week or two from when this photo was taken. And this particular class is being hosted at our center called the Latin America Resource and Training Center. And we'll talk about that in just a few minutes as well. Lucy had the privilege of presenting to her son, Johnny Jr., his diploma, graduation diploma. And this is just a year ago, by the way, when all of this took place at the Jehovah Jireh church. Pastor Johnny and Lucy are still there, but God has used them in such wonderful ways that Pastor Johnny, you can see pictured in the selfie with myself and Johnny Jr., he is our national superintendent in Panama of the Assemblies of God. Johnny Jr. works with his parents. Amen. Yeah, that's great. Johnny Jr. works with his parents as the worship pastor, and the worship team, the band, is made up almost exclusively of students and graduates of the Good Shepherd School there. It is amazing. We invited Johnny Jr. to come with his band to be a part of the 2019, we called it CIACAD, that stands for an association of our Central American Child Hope Schools. So we had 580 teachers, pastors, and directors of schools with us at that event in Panama. We rotate that around. 2 years before, it was in Nicaragua, and that's kind of how we do it. And his band, his worship team, led worship during that whole experience. And he is giving back what he'd received for all of those years. And that, my friend, is what we have had the privilege of seeing and participating in directly and indirectly, of shaping generations of harvest workers. Amen. So how does God want you to reach our world? Bethany is one of thousands of churches that are participating and are committed to what our forefathers called the greatest initiative and campaign of worldwide evangelism ever seen. And we're still committed to it as a church. But what's your role in it? What is his plan for you? Maybe you will go. Maybe you'll be a part of one of those teams. You will all pray because we are compelled to pray. We're compelled to go. But we're compelled to send those of us that God has called. And all of us have a role. Every single person has a role in giving and investing in what God wants to do. Well, what does that look like? How does that happen? How is it that we step out? Well, that's our third principle, which is planting to God's provision. We know the plan now. He's spoken to us. How do we plant to it? How do we sow? How do we step out? How do we become involved? Well, Joshua chapter 3 now shares the story of the actual crossing of the Jordan River. So the Lord spoke to Joshua. It's recorded there. Joshua shares it with the priests. It's recorded there, and then it happens, recorded again. It's a wonderful experience. You can actually see the story three times. The instruction, repeating the instruction, and carrying out the plan. It's wonderful. So what's going to happen? The priests were to go first, and they were to carry the ark. Can you imagine those first two priests on either side carrying the pole with the Ark of the Covenant? And they're told, step into the river, and God is going to make a way where there is no way. Just step in and walk into the middle. And the Jordan is at flood stage. Some say it's like a mile across at this time, this season of the year. Can you imagine what it'd be like if you're one of those priests? Sure, I'm supposed to step in and walk into the middle of it. But what happens? They stepped in, walked into the middle of it. God stopped the water. He kind of stacked up the waters of the Jordan. And we're told that the nation of Israel crossed over on dry ground. Isn't that wonderful? As God was with Moses, he would be with Joshua. Because just as the children of Israel crossed over on dry ground, crossing the Red Sea, once again, they crossed on dry ground, crossing the Jordan River. This story has real significance to us in the construction of the Latin America Resource and Training Center. The Lord spoke to us about 15 years ago about building a training center in Panama City to equip and empower leaders, train teachers and pastors, and develop and provide resources and tools for them. It's a large building, 36,000 square feet, that would be built in four phases. Phase one was a training, administration, and production wing. Phase two is a housing wing. Phase three is a large auditorium, dining area. And phase four is a training addition located behind the phase one wing. So 6 years ago, during our last itineration, we shared a little bit more of an extended version of the video that you're going to see next. We were sharing about our vision for the Resource Center to train harvest workers like Johnny Jr. And we were working, we got that video available. There it is. We were working on raising funds to cross that, put a bridge in where we're at, crossing the creek right there. This 200-yard stretch just seemed like a mile long as we're, you know, hiking through some very difficult jungle area. And Miguel and Mari Morales, who appear with us in this video, he's in the purple shirt there, have worked by our side since 2011, and they represent for us the next generation of leadership, and even now have assumed much of the leadership responsibilities for the ministerial training program throughout Spanish-speaking Latin America. So we're standing above this really rough property where the tall grasses have been kind of cut down, but it's really hard, and wondering how in the world is this ever going to happen. So we returned back to Panama. This would be the summer of 2014, and first installed the culverts, and later built the road. The next slide that's up there shows those. And we were able to do this because of churches like your church. We were here 6 years ago, spoke about this a little bit, and you helped, and we're very grateful for that. And by January of 2016, the leveling was all completed, and the two-story phase one training and administration building, that work began. And by January 2017, that phase one building was about two-thirds complete. It includes classrooms, a library, production, administrative facilities. And we actually moved into the second floor offices in February. And 2 weeks later, we celebrated the dedication during an international event that we hosted, the International Leaders Dialogue. By summer of 2017, the phase one interior work was completed for the first floor training, production facilities, and 10 of the first floor guest rooms in the phase two building were completed just in time for a month-long advanced training session. And the housing building roof of the phase two was also done. This is the next photo, kind of shows the where we were at January of 2018. By January of 2019, the remaining 13 guest rooms on phase two, second floor, were nearly finished, and the phase three atrium roof, back rooms were completed. Guest rooms are just, we just so turned out so wonderful, so happy, really worthy of our leadership in Latin America. We're just grateful for that. By January 2020, all phase one, two, and three work was completed. It included important exterior work, painting, the aluminum balcony that kind of covers our air conditioning equipment. The phase three atrium is the center's 300-seat auditorium dining facility. It features a wraparound balcony and mezzanine that connects the second floors of the training and housing wings. Commercial kitchen was outfitted with cabinets, counters, commercial appliances. So what we're focusing on right now is a 5,100 square foot phase four training addition located on the backside of phase one. It's about 75% complete. And we're working on, next we'll be installing air conditioning on the bottom floor that's now been finished. So what remains is the about $35,000 to finish the upstairs of the training addition, this space right here. So it stands right now 92% complete. 92%. And in addition to the $35,000 we need for interior work, that's the last work inside that needs to be done. It's a big project to put in the parking and the roads and that type of thing as well. We hope to finish the work in 2021. Friends, when we looked over that blank slate, rugged property, we didn't know how. We didn't have the means. But you got to step in the water. That not only applies to us as missionaries, it applies to each one of you hearing from God, hearing what he wants you to do, and stepping out in faith, obediently, to do it. Do you agree with that? Yes. Amen. The last principle is persevering to God's promise. After the nation had crossed the Jordan River, they finished the instructions that were given to Joshua, that each of the tribes was to go to the middle of the riverbed where the priests were standing and to take a rock, a stone, and to go to their new promised land side and to build an altar, a memorial to the Lord. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. For us, the Latin America Resource and Training Center will help our leaders remember the importance of preparing Christian leaders, of shaping harvest workers for all generations. The center helps us to strategically fulfill Paul's instructions to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. We host training events for pastors, directors, teachers from all over Latin America, advanced training classes two or three times a year. We conduct training seminars for hundreds of Child Hope school teachers, directors, and pastors. We host church planting and missionary training events and plan on beginning our own missionary training center and Bible school to push the envelope in new ways that we can do it in a better way. And this is just the beginning. A fellow educator once shared with me the word that he used for this facility as an endowment. It's a gift that pays forward. a debt-free facility to promote, maintain, and even partially fund training for generations to come. Long after we're gone, the center will continue as a legacy to future missionaries and national leaders to proactively fulfill the church's mandate to go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them, preparing harvest workers to do it again and do it again and do it again until the Lord would come. We encourage you to persevere, to stay the course. Don't give up. Don't give up. Even during these really difficult times, follow God's plan. In the midst of the worst trials, do what God told you to do. In the midst of the worst trials, Paul wrote these words, "All of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving and God will receive more and more glory." That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at our troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things that we see now will soon be gone, but the things that we cannot see will last forever. So, chapter 6 to finish. I'm that soldier walking around Jericho. You know what gets me through? It's remembering what happened back there in chapter 3 and chapter 4. See, there's an altar back there that reminds me of God's faithfulness to his people. So I keep marching. Next slide, please. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Friends, the job's not done. We can't stop. We have to keep going. There's work to do. Persevere. Make it happen. The wall's going to fall. That wall's going to fall, friends. Just keep marching. There's a victory that he has for us. And when it falls, will you do me a favor? Would you go back to the rubble and grab a big stone and put it on that pile? Your promise still stands. Because there's another generation that needs to see you do that and be reminded that God is faithful. Today, near you, on a pew, a bench, is what we call the Faith Promise Giving Card. This is the time at Bethany where we make some decisions and we practice the presence of God and hear from him about his heart for our world. We listen to him as he speaks to us of how we can believe him for a miracle. We step out, we plant to his provision, and we persist until we see God's promise. And that is our encouragement to you. When we go out there and look at the Hall of Missionaries, the Wall of Missionaries out there, and see our picture, we are reminded of God's faithfulness, how he has used you to sustain us all of these years to fulfill his call upon our lives. And we ask you to do it again, because the Lord will do it again. Amen? I'd like to pray for you, and then Pastor Stephen's going to come and finish this part of our faith promise. Father, thank you for this time that we've had together today. We're so grateful, Lord, for the examples and the stories that we have from Scripture, and particularly this morning, the model, the example that we have of Joshua, and how you were with him as you were with Moses, how that encourages us as missionaries. But we pray that now today, Lord, each one of us would accept that call, that understanding, Lord, that you have a plan for us to be involved, and that includes praying and giving and even going. Use us, Lord. Help us to step out in faith and believe you for great things, because you love our world so much. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Pastor Stephen.